Hallelujah. Hey, y'all, I want to continue on talking about growing up spiritually because this is critically important for the time we're living in. And of course, today we're on part four, so we've covered a lot of material. Again, all of our messages are on our website, www.destinygso.org. All of our notes are there. And I encourage you to please, well, you know what? As I go through today, you're going to understand some of the most important things that we've got to do to grow up in this thing so that sickness is repelled by your presence. Are y'all with me? Sickness, disease, repelled. You'll have temptations to receive it, but you'll have confidence knowing that, no, that can't touch me. I'm the body of Christ. You never saw Jesus call in a day sick. Never happened. He was the solution. Say, I'm the solution to the problems of the world. Yeah, we're the light of the world. We're those carriers of the good news. Amen. So we're going to understand some more of that and how to walk in this that we're walking today. We started talking on this series called Growing Up Spiritually. And today, I want to talk about balance, a balanced spiritual diet. And there's four parts to this that the Bible shows us. So let's, first of all, let's take a look at this foundation scripture. Why is it so important for us to grow up spiritually? All of us come into the kingdom of God as babes. Everybody is born again who comes into the kingdom, and we come in as babes, but we're not supposed to stay there. And so over the last few weeks, we've talked about symptoms of spiritual immaturity. We've talked about the call to maturity. And last week, we talked about some of the things that it takes to grow mature and to grow up spiritually. And we gave you seven things there. And so look back on our website so you can see those. But today we're going to talk about this balanced diet and talk about that. But here's our foundation passage, Ephesians chapter 4. We've looked at this several times, but I just wanted to show you in the New Living Translation how important it is for us all to grow up. And if you just think of it naturally, we're all born as babes, but we don't stay babes. But just like you grow up with time naturally, just time alone in the kingdom of God won't make you grow up. You'll get older, but you won't grow up spiritually. Are you with me? And so there's some things that we have to do to make sure that we develop spiritually. And so watch what he says here. He says in Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 11, he says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. Their responsibility is to do what? Equip God's people to do his work and build up church, the body of Christ. Do y'all see what the fivefold ministry is? To build you up to do the work of the ministry. We're all ministers in the body of Christ. The fivefold ministry's job is to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, what is that? That is laying hands on the sick, winning the lost, the encouraging, the building up, the helping people. Are y'all with me? We are the solution. Say, I'm the solution. Amen. And to build up the church, the body of Christ. And we are to build up each other. And this is one aspect that we haven't done well here at Destiny. We have to, each of us building each other up well. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, but let's go on. This will continue until we all come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be what? The goal is to grow up. The goal is to be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Again, what he's talking about here is that Jesus walked the earth as just one person. And he was limited to time and space when he was here on the earth. But then after he resurrected, went to the cross and resurrected, he gave us his spirit so that now we are those believers. We are the Christians, the Christ-like ones in the earth. So there's obviously many more of us. But we do have to develop and grow up to, back up to that verse if you don't mind, that we come measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. What he's saying is we as a whole body grow up into that Christ. In other words, not just one of him now, all of millions of him walking around the earth. Are y'all with me? And that's why we can't succumb to the ways of the world in our lifestyle, in our believing, and the way we live, and the way we conduct our marriages, and the way we conduct our relationships, and the way we do life. We have to do it Christ's way, because without us, the world has nothing to look to. Are y'all with me? They're looking... The world is going to look at us for those answers, the ministry. And again, the fivefold ministry job is to equip us so that we do have those answers. Are y'all with me? So everybody shouldn't just be calling the pastor. We all become those leaders, those ministry people to the world. You're the answer on your job. Are y'all with me? We are the light in the dark place. We are the salt of the earth. We are the seasoning, the God flavor that the world needs. So we cannot succumb to all the fears of the world. Are y'all with me? All right, this will continue to be our commitment. Okay, go to the next one for me. Yeah, then we will no longer be immature. So you see, this whole passage is talking about growing up. Immature like children, we won't be tossed to and tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth. Come on, do y'all see it? It's all in this passage right here. It's so easy in these times, and particularly in difficult times, for believers to be duped by what the news says and what the world says. Why? Because more believers are discipled more by the world and the culture than the Word and Christ. They're more politically astute, connect and identify more with their political affiliation than their biblical identity. Are y'all with me? You can offend a believer easy by talking politics, but not about the Bible. They don't know enough about the Bible to know what it really says. And y'all hear what I'm saying? When I say that, and that's the climate we live in. That's the climate we live in. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. So instead, we'll speak the truth. He said we won't be duped by things that sound like truth, but rather we will be the ones speaking the truth. Amen. In how? In love. And that's vitally important there too, isn't it, Joe, that we have to speak it in love, because really people are living in fear right now. And so you don't want to intimidate people and make people and sound threatening to people. We want to encourage people that this is going to pass. And it is. But there'll be another one. Amen. There'll be another one. There'll be some other new strain of something that comes up. That's the time that we live in. We read it in the Bible already, all right? Instead, we'll speak the truth in love. What will that do? Growing in every way more and more like Christ. The more we speak the truth, the more we grow up to be more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Look at the last one. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. The consistent thing here is growing. Growing. We must grow up. We must grow up into the things of Christ. Did y'all see that? So that other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing, full of what? Full of love. That's our foundation text. Today, we're going to talk about a balanced diet. Balanced diet. Turn over in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 42. And then I'm going to read in that same passage, verse 46 and 47. Acts chapter 2. Amen. Y'all happy? Praise the Lord. Let's see. All right, on the day of Pentecost, this is the day of Pentecost, remember 120 of them had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. Initially, there were 500 that had gathered together to watch Jesus ascend, and he told them to wait for the promise of the Spirit in Jerusalem. They didn't. They dispersed, and only 120 gathered. Are you with me? How much is that? 380 of them said they lost hope during that time. Come on, y'all. So 120 were there, and on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached what that was about. 3,000 souls got saved that day. And so the question is, how would they manage that number of people? And it's great instruction here in the scriptures on how to manage growth and how growth should occur. And we do one of these things really well, and the other three we've really got to do a lot of work in. And that's what this whole year is about, a discipling, so we can learn these things and really evangelize and reach the lost and reach those that are hurting in these type of times that we're living in. Are y'all with me? Amen. Here it is. And with many words, Peter, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. If it was a perverse generation back then, 2,000 years ago, guess what? It's crazy perverse now. How many of y'all recognize that? Do y'all recognize that the world that we live in is really, really flipped upside down now? That even believers question what is real truth. Amen. Now watch, right here, when the things that I want to say, I get nervous about saying, because I know so many believers are immature in these things and don't understand what the scriptures say and what our position, what we should take in these things in a dark world. Are y'all with me? So the lines get blurred when it comes to things like marriage. It gets real blurred because we say, hold on, people love each other, they should just be able to, but that's not what God said. Are y'all with me? And again, we never condemn people. We never condemn people, but we do have to be those light bearers, those pillars of truth. But if we don't know the truth, we can't hold up the truth. We can't be the light of the world or the salt of the earth. And we do that in love. We've read that already. But marriage, these are some of those lines. And Christians now, many believe that marriage among same sex is okay, because that's what our culture says. And it is politically incorrect to say what I just said, to say that marriage is between a husband and wife. Do y'all get what I'm saying? And so, and that is no put down. Please get this right. That is not a put down against the person who believes they're homosexual or lesbian. We're not putting them down by saying what the Bible says. We're not being homophobic, but do you see how these things politically twisted will make what I just said a crime? And that's what you and I have to watch for and be able to stand up for the truth when we talk about abortion. See, already people get nervous about that. But politicized, people say, well, that's women's rights. They have a right to my body. But what about the baby? Doesn't he have a right? Well, where does life begin? And if you ask people these questions, just ask, where does life begin? Well, I believe, okay, that's nice, but what does God say? Well, I believe it starts at 3 or 4 months. So you mean to tell me at 3 or 4 months life starts, or at 6 months, or at 9 months life starts, but not at 2 months? Or 2 months and, yeah, one day. Who decides that line? God does. Now, the culture will decide whatever they want, but we as believers must know what God says. And at that point, then you get to decide what you want to do, but know that this is what God says. You decide now, what side am I going to be on? Are y'all with me? And that's hard for many believers to take that, because you will be persecuted. And I didn't read all the text, but you'll be persecuted for that stance. When you stand for right, you will be persecuted and eventually prosecuted and potentially executed. In times to come, y'all, are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me? So that's how real this thing is. And that's why I say true Christianity, they're going to show up at some point. You're going to find out who really believes this. Because if they said, just think about it. If we walked out of here and they said, uh-oh, y'all were gathering and there's more than 100 of y'all in that place. Y'all were gathering together. We're going to have to execute you. Many of y'all would be like, that wasn't me. Are you a Christian? What y'all going to do if I say yes? We're going to have to kill you. You know, what y'all want me to be today? You get what I'm saying? No, y'all think it's funny, but there is going to come pressure. But this is where the lines become blurred, because many of us are more astute politically or affiliated or identified politically than we do with the truth. And so we get enraged when we hear things on television that go contrary to our political belief, but then we don't know that that's contrary to our biblical belief. Are y'all with me? Come on, smile at your pastor right now. That won't spread. You know, you can't catch nothing with that other than joy. Come on. Amen. Are y'all with me today? So this is really real, y'all. This is really real. It's become more and more apparent. And that's not to cast fear, but that's just to say we have something to look forward to, and that is Jesus is with us, and we must take a stand for what's right and stand for the truth and compassionately love those who don't believe like we believe. Be compassionate and loving. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Amen. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be safe from this perverse generation. I'm trying to get to, good God. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Added to who? The 120. You right? And they, here's the key. And how did they manage them? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, number one. Number two, and fellowship. And I told you, we're pretty good at number one. This is a good church where we teach you the word. Number two, we've got to get much better at this year. And let me just tell you, I need help in this because I'm an introvert. If I am, y'all, so I can sit in a room by myself, the Bible, my guitar, and be happy. You get what I'm saying? And be happy for several days. And y'all may think that's weird, but I can go to the movie by myself. I can go eat by myself. I am that kind of guy. You get what I'm saying? And so because of that, unfortunately, I'm not strong in pushing fellowship. I need help. Pastor Joe Rhonda, Joe and Bob and Enda, they're really good at that. Shanae is good at that. And I need help of leaders to help us implement this part of fellowship in these small groups. Because listen, let me go on with my teaching, but I want y'all to hear today how important it is that we have all four of these components. And particularly in times like these, I can teach you if they say you got to sit at home, but we're going to have fellowship of some type. Everything y'all know that people take scriptures and they sound good by themselves until they get around somebody else who can balance that out a little bit and say, you know what? What that means more so is this. And then you go, oh, snap, I didn't even think about that. But it has to be balanced off of someone else, and that's where fellowship is important. You know, just like sitting in a classroom, you learned a lot just sitting in a classroom. But didn't you learn more at work when you figured out how this really applies in real life? And that fellowship is that real life experience where you know what I mean? I can stand up here and read to you out of Ephesians 5 about marriage and family, but you're going to learn more at home. And then just at home, you may think you're right until you get in fellowship with perhaps Bob and Enda or Joe and Rhonda and some, or Jack and Dana or John and Patty or Wanda, you get some of these other people down here, and that you sit with some leaders and you see that they do that differently than me. And maybe this means I'm supposed to be more compassionate and more patient when that's said, or when my kids do this. Maybe there is a better approach, but that fellowship element is very, very necessary, and we've got to create environments in homes and other places where we're not gathered as a mass like this. Because in this kind of environment, it's me doing the talking and y'all doing some of the listening. Some of y'all ain't hearing a word I'm saying. I know that. Some are. You get it. And we're going to get to that. But do y'all see how important that fellowship, and that's why he said it. Fellowship and breaking of bread. Again, I'm going to break all these down. Today I'm spending way too much time here. I'm acting like we ain't got nowhere to go. And y'all do. Y'all got other things to do. But we're going to break down all these four. Number one, apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. Breaking of bread is covenant. The breaking of bread, where we've always focused on the breaking of bread is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Jesus breaking the bread and saying, this is my body. But after he left, guess who the body is? We're the body. And so rather than just him breaking bread now, and it's his body which we eat, and that is right and correct, the other part of the body of Christ now is us tending to each other. We're that broken bread now. All right, and I'll teach you all that. I'll get to that. And then in prayers. Prayer is the way. I heard somebody quote it already out of Chronicles earlier this morning, or maybe it was in practice with the praise team. But as God has given us prayer to change the world. Are you with me? It's going to be prayer. The president called today a national day of prayer, and rightfully so. Amen. And we need to pray. And we as believers know how to pray properly. We need to know how to pray properly. But that is one of those vital links. You have to be taught that to pray effectively. So those are the four elements. And today, four components. And today I'm just going to spend time on one. Next week, however we do it, if we're in homes or if we're here, and I hope you can come back, and I hope we all can come back like we are, and I hope that that this thing just, you know, they start seeing the numbers go down and that this becomes a thing of the past. But if not, next week I'm going to continue on. But this first one is mentioned first because we wouldn't have known about the other ones unless we knew about the Word. I mean, that's how we find out everything. The Word is the most important one, how we find out everything. But let's talk about that because he made some major things here. Apostles' doctrine, don't panic about that word doctrine. It just simply means teaching. When people panic about the word doctrine, they're talking about dogma. Dogma is not good. But doctrine is good. It just simply means teaching, the apostles' doctrine. They're teaching. And why the apostles' doctrine is because as new covenant believers, we've got to understand the old covenant. We've got to rightly divide the word of truth. And for many people, they don't know the new covenant. They don't know what their rights are as a believer. Here, let's turn to this passage first, and then I'll get into that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Apostles' doctrine. Apostles, because he's talking about new covenant teaching. New covenant teaching. All right, let me write this. But notice, and I got to read this out of the New Testament so that you see that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, here it is in verse 16. All scripture, that's old and new, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, doctrine, right? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete. And that complete, one translation says perfect. It doesn't mean sinless, it means mature. Again, there's another, that's what that word, maybe mature, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I wanted you to see this because when it says apostles' doctrine, we have to rightly divide Old Covenant and New Covenant, Old Testament and New Testament. I wrote it like in my notes like this. The New Covenant explains what the Old Covenant contains. The New Covenant reveals what the Old Covenant conceals. So the two do go together. All scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. But the old is mostly old. It's stories. In fact, in Hebrews, it explains this, that they're types and shadows of the real, of the truth, which is Jesus. So there are pictures. So when it comes to, they sacrificed lambs back then. Jesus said, I am the lamb. They had, you know, blood sacrifices. They put blood of goats and lambs over their doorposts. We have the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for us. All the articles in the tabernacle, everything in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the revealed Jesus. It shows pictures of Jesus. So they both do go together and both are inspired by God. Are y'all with me? Amen. Jesus brought substance to the Old Testament types and shadows. Under the New Covenant, some of the primary things that you and I as believers must understand is, number one, who am I in Christ? Are y'all with me? This is so vitally important that we understand. Most believers have an identity crisis. They know more about self than they know about Christ and who they are in him. You have a new identity in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the redeemed from the curse of the law. You are the healed. Someone said it on the platform already, that you're not trying to get to a point of victory. You stand in a place of victory. But many believers don't know that. They think that they're trying to get healed. And so it's knowing who I am in Christ, number one. What do I have in Christ? All these are new covenant principles. And what can I do in Christ? What can I do? The Bible says I can do all things through Christ. There it is again. So it's our position in Christ. And that's what the epistles, all the epistles describe. Who we are in Christ and our position as a new covenant believer. That doesn't alleviate the Old Testament. The Old Covenant hides all those truths in the stories. Are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. Keep coming in. If you come on Wednesday, I explain a lot more detail about that. Amen. All right. So turn over in your Bible, because let's talk about this first thing, the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, how important it is. Let me say this. On Wednesdays, turn over to Isaiah, by the way, Isaiah 55, and I'm going to look at verse 8 through 11. On Wednesdays, we're talking about the Word of God because it is going to make the difference in sickness and health. It's going to make the difference in your provision. The Word of God is what we have to live by. And so on Wednesdays, again, I'm really breaking that down. I don't have time in this format. I don't have enough weeks. You get it? I can break it down. I want to cover masses of people here. But on Wednesdays is when I really go into the details and break down how the Word is different than every other book. It's different. God's Word is, this Bible is different. It's not a regular book. The pages off this Bible put on, inside of you are actually seed. They see, they will produce the words that you put on the inside of you, mixed with your faith, spoken out of your mouth, will move mountains, will remove sickness. The Bible says he sent his word, Psalms 107 and 20, and healed them. He sends his word. We have to get it in our heart, and that's what I want to explain today. All right, come on. Good God, help me to stay on point here. Praise the Lord. Y'all with me? Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. If you read the verses prior to this, he talks to the unbeliever and the sinner. He says, first of all, you got to forsake your ways, and you got to forsake your thoughts. We as believers have to do that. We have to forsake our ways and our thoughts. And that's why he says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. All right? God is simply saying, my ways are better than yours, and I'm smarter than you. Because I made you. That's no shade. That's just, I know how to do this, right? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give, look at these, seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God says here, my word is like rain and snow that comes down from heaven. It doesn't go to the earth for no reason. It goes there to give seed to the sower and bread to an eater. My word is not for any purpose. It's seed and food. All right? Okay, so we have to understand that. God says, my word, and it will work. It's undefiled. It's unadulterated. It's when we get pure word. And that's why we can't just mix it with opinion. We have to get the word of God and go to the book and see what it says. Amen? And then we do need guidance. We need pastors and teachers of fivefold ministry, and we need each other. Amen. All right, so So we see here that the Word of God is always represented throughout the Scriptures. It's represented as food and seed. Let's take a look at it as food real quickly and understand this. Look over at Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 4 and 4, verse 4. But all throughout the Scriptures you'll see this. Look at Matthew 4, 4. It says, remember in the temptation, Jesus was out in the wilderness temptation. He said, the devil came to him and was tempting. And he said, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So again, he likens the word to food here. All throughout the Scriptures, we see over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babies, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and do what? and grow unto completed salvation. King James says, desire the sincere miracle of the word that you may grow thereby. So we have to have a taste, an appetite for this word. It's what's going to cause us to grow, just like a mother's milk will cause a baby to grow. And again, we see in the Amplified, the unadulterated word of God, so that we can grow up. Paul talks about it often in Hebrews. In Hebrews 5, he talks about, I had to feed you with milk and not meat. We see that in Corinthians 2. But the word is often called milk or meat. It's food. It's referred to as food. And in Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah or Ezekiel, one of the books, in one of the old prophets, he talks about that the preachers, Jeremiah, that the preachers are supposed to feed the people knowledge and understanding. Feed them knowledge and understanding. Feed them. Are you with me? And so it's incumbent upon us to get this word so we can grow up. Now, do I want to talk about that yet? Here, let me go on to this next one. Just as food must be ingested and digested, so must the word. You know, many people sit in church and have sat in church week after week and still haven't grown and developed. Even though they're hearing, they may not really be ingesting and digesting. Jesus talked about this, how you can hear but not really hear. We've all done that before. Haven't you heard that? Your parents or somebody just being, right? And you ain't paying no attention to what they're saying. And Jesus talked about that in a parable, and we're going to get to that. I want to look at that today. But the word is not just enough to just hear it and be familiar with it. Just like you can can you study a plate of chicken? Has anybody ever looked at it? Mm-hmm. On them commercials, you can look at it and have an appetite for it, but unless you eat it and digest it, put it in your mouth, and that your body breaks it down and uses it for what your body needs, it's not going to do you any good. And likewise with the word, just hearing alone is not enough. And the Bible says this over and over and over. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. He said, deceiving yourself, kidding yourself because you think I'm sitting here. But if this doesn't actually go inside of your heart, you meditate on it throughout the week, it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to change your life. You see people here, but they're still the same way they used to be. It's not just sitting in church that's going to do it. Come on, somebody. It's having this word change your heart, change your thinking. Now watch, the Bible gives us instruction about how that happens. Look over in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Again, Old Testament passage, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law. If they're back there, if they can't turn to it, no worries. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. There it is. Make some noise for him in the back. Watch this. Joshua saying this. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do. In other words, just hearing it isn't enough. He says, you got to get it in your mouth, meditate on it so that you may do. That word meditate just simply means medicine. That's like a doctor would give you a prescription for medicine. Take this two times a day, take this at noon and with your meals or whatever. He said, this word has to be something that gets in your mouth and you have to meditate it, murmur it, think on it. The same way the nation is meditating on coronavirus and it causes them to believe certain things and take action is the same way you and I should meditate the truth of God's word. It will produce faith on the inside of you instead of fear. Meditation takes words and causes your it to illuminate on the inside of you and produce faith in one direction or the other. And when you take the world's facts and truth, put it in your heart that this is going to kill you, this is going to die, you're not going to make it, blah, 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 blah. Everybody panics because they don't know an alternative. God says, get my word, put that in your mouth. Right now, some people are thinking, but pastor. And that's why I'm telling you, Believers will argue these things, but please get the butt out of the way so the word can work. You have to believe it, and you have to meditate on it. So oftentimes we're watching, we can turn on CNN and every local news channel, and we should know what's going on, don't get me wrong. But when we take in so much of that and none of this, we get this for an hour, 45 minutes, whatever y'all give me on Sunday, and hear it no more through the rest of the week. Don't meditate on it. Y'all see, it's not going to, just try that with one meal. That ain't even going to work. You're going to die. You got to get some food on a daily basis. And that's what he's saying here. You've got to, this has got to be a part of your thinking day and night. And it is intentional that you meditate on it. So instead of thinking about, oh, if I touch that, if I go to work, somebody coughs. I was in Sam's Club in Walmart this weekend. And I'm telling you, there was this lady who was coughing like she was about to die. Everybody in the place was mean mugging her. Mean mugging, like, oh, we about to jump on you. What in the world are you doing? As soon as I heard her, because it even caught my attention, because she was like, and everybody was like, oh, snap. And the lines were long. The lines were back past the food, you know what I'm saying? So everybody in there was like, oh, snap. And we ain't got nowhere to go. We can't even get away from her. Are y'all, you get what I'm saying? But they're meditating on what they're hearing on the news. But I know what the word of God says. The word of God says, no pestilence shall come nigh your dwelling place. We've got to put that word in our mouth and in our heart and meditate on it so that it becomes real to you and produces faith in you. Don't try to walk on my faith or somebody else's faith. You got to get it yourself. Just like me eating a bucket of chicken is going to fill me up. You watching me eat a bucket of chicken ain't gonna do nothing for you but make you mad. Come on, somebody. I'm getting hungry talking like this. Come on. Come on, do y'all see the power in this? He's saying if you meditate on it, watch, he says. He says that you may observe to do. In other words, you can't do what's necessary unless you're meditating on this. Lest this is in your thinking. For then, according to all that's written therein, in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Look over in Proverbs chapter 4, I believe. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 20. Look at this. Oh, I love this passage right here. Amplified Bible. My son, see, when you get an appetite for this, and you've seen your life turn around, and you've seen healing, when you've seen your life turn around by this, you get an appetite for this. I was sharing with my family. I was sharing with them. I used to have these migraine headaches. I haven't been sick in years. I mean, I haven't caught a cold. And please don't take that the wrong way. People take offense at stuff I say. I'm just testifying about Jesus, not about me. If you'll get a hold of this word, it will change how sickness affects you. But years ago, early on in my Christian walk, I would get these migraine headaches so bad, I was explaining to my family, that I used to have to pull over and just take a nap. Wherever I was, as a kid, I think it was 18, 19, 20, early 20s, you know, and it went on for years. I could tell, I could feel it in my body when it was coming. I was like, oh no, oh no. And I was a Christian, but I didn't know what I know now. You get it? And I would have to pull over, and I'd be taking all kinds of pills, and just all I wanted to do was just sleep. And I could feel my heartbeat. It was right behind my eyes, and it was just so painful. It was like I wanted to dig behind my eyes and rub it. It would just hurt so bad. And then I began learning how to sow the word. And I don't even remember when they stopped and went away. I can't put my finger on that. I just remembered. After preaching and talking about it, like, wow, you know what? I used to have this debilitating headaches. I forgot about that. But because I started meditating on the word and doing what this passage says right here, watch this. My son, attend to my words, consent to my sayings, let them not depart from your sight. Y'all know how y'all sit in front of the TV right now? With the news and it just feeding you in your car. Come on, somebody. If you turn it on, you will get scared. They will put fear in you. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them where? In the center of your heart. Get them in your eyes, in your ears, so it gets in your heart. For they, those words, are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Look at this next passage. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it, out of your heart, flow the springs of life. Listen to this passage. What he's saying right here is, get this word in your heart. Get it in your heart. Put it in your heart. Keep sowing it in your heart, speaking this word. The next verses talk about get your words right. Put this word in your heart, then guard it with all, above everything else you guard. How many of y'all locked your doors when you pulled up here in the Destiny parking lot? Please raise your hand right now, even if you didn't. People are watching. And then pull your little key thing out and boop, boop, hit it. Now, why did you do that? You did it because if you didn't lock it, somebody's going to check probably. Come on, we're on Randall Monroe. Somebody may check for you. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you like that car, right? So you, or even if you don't, it's yours. You want to protect it, right? How many of y'all locked your doors when you left the house today? Put your hand up, even if you didn't. Come on, somebody. I know y'all are country people. You might not need to. Ain't no neighbors around you for 5 miles, but why'd you do that? You did it because you want to protect that house. How many of y'all will protect your kids? Oh, I got your attention on that. Yeah. Somebody jump on your little baby, you're going to have a problem with that. Come on. How many of y'all will beat up a child? Come on, somebody. Some child bigger than your kid jumping on your six-year-old. I know I'm 36, but I will whoop your tail. And you're 8. Beating up on my six-year-old. Come on, somebody. You'll work all that stuff out afterwards. You better get off my kid. Isn't that right? Why do you protect them? Because you love them. But watch what this passage says. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance above all that you guard. Your kids, your house, your home, everything else, guard your heart above it. We don't do that. We put all kinds of junk in our heart and then can't figure out why we have the same fears as the world. Can't figure out why we have more faith in disease than we do in the healing that's on the inside of us. Because we feed that more than we feed our faith. Come on, you might as well say amen, because I'm telling you the truth. And this is a hard reality. It's a hard reality because many of us want to just check off church. I attended. But it's more than that. I'd rather you go to the movies if you're just going to sit here and not pay attention. Come on, somebody. And not get this word and put it to use in your life. Put it to use. It is a weapon. The Bible describes the word as many things. One of the things it describes is a sword, the sword of the Spirit. The word in your mouth will kill disease. The word in your mouth will pierce and divide asunder. The word in your mouth, Jeremiah says, is a hammer. The word in your mouth, believed in your heart, will cut sin out of your life. Psalm says in Psalms 119, put your word in my heart, hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God in your heart will change your actions. Are y'all with me? But it won't happen just on the page of this book. You've got to get it on the inside of you. That is a process, and it's called meditation. We've got to talk about it. We've got to think about it. Come on, somebody. Are y'all listening to me in this place? It's not going to happen automatically. And that's where fellowship comes in really great, because here, we're here for an hour. I'm talking. You get it? We want you to take the notes, and throughout the week, we want to set up environments where you can take it and discuss that. How does that really work? How do we do this? And how do I say, just even passages like this? Well, here's how I do it. And here's how I do it. Here's what I do. I'll put this on in my car. You know, rather than just jamming, I'm getting healed while I'm listening to it. I'm jamming and being healed at the same time. You can get the right music that does that. You follow what I'm saying? Come on, somebody. Say, I'm a believer. I'm a believing believer. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. All right. Turn over into your Bible to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. Oh, this is so important right here. I said this on Wednesday, but I didn't show you all the passage for it. As water reflects the face, you know, if you look over in a stream or something, you can see a reflection. One's life reflects the heart. What is the Bible saying here? Your life is your heart. What's in your heart is reflected on the movie screen of your life. Whatever's in your life was put in your heart. If you got a lot of drama in life, I got a lot of cheating, a lot of conniving, a lot of game running, that game running gets in your heart and shows up in your life. But if you put the word of God, I mean, just even a simple proverb a day, you get proverbs. If you have a hard time with your flesh, come on, somebody, have a hard time with your flesh, you got to get the right seeds on the inside of you that will produce love for a spouse or the desire for a spouse, you get it, and a good spouse, and you get that by the word too. But everything in your life, whatever's in your heart is reflected in your life. So whatever I want to change in my life, what do I have to do? Change what I'm putting in my heart. Just make a deposit. It's so simple. If, come on, what is in my bank account is what I put in there plus interest. What's in my life is what I put in my heart plus interest. Many times we want the fruit of the Spirit, but we're sowing to the flesh. So of the flesh, we reap corruption, but then can't figure out what's going on. We're sowing the wrong thing. Come on, are y'all learning today? All right, real quickly, and we're closing. How's my time? Yes, I got a few minutes. Jesus. How's my notes? Okay, yes. The Word of God contains His DNA. Remember we said it's His seed? It's His food, so it has to be digested through meditation, through fellowship, through thinking on it. Jesus, the Word has to be more than Sunday. Has to be more than, it's part of your lifestyle for this to change everything in your life. It will. Tell that person next to you, say, this word will change everything in your life. It will. It'll do it. But you have to apply it just like you do medicine, all right? Amen. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, Amplified. We're almost done. Are y'all glad you came today? All right. I'm glad y'all came too. And I'm glad you're watching by internet too. Because we may all be watching by internet next week. It's depending on what they say. Isn't that right? We may all be. So it's all good. It's all good. No. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23. We've got to understand how to make the word work so we don't get frustrated in church. People get frustrated in church blaming God for the word not working, and they haven't read the instructions. You get what I'm saying? They haven't read the instructions on how to make it work. All right? Watch this. You've been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from one seed or sperm that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. Here, I love this passage. Y'all hear me talk about it often. That the Word of God here, that's the Amplified version, says that the Word of God is God's sperm, His seed. Y'all all right with that? It's His DNA. The Word of God contains the faith and life of God. When taken off the pages of the Bible, put in your heart, meditated on, produces faith. When spoken out of your mouth, it carries the DNA of God. It carries the healing power of God. That word's like bread, and just like you eat bread and digest it, goes and nourishes parts of your body, the Word of God will do that. And like seed that is planted in the ground will produce a harvest if left in the ground and watered. Left in the ground and watered and get sunlight, it's going to produce a harvest. The Bible calls it fruit, good fruit. Many believers don't have good fruit because they haven't gotten the seed in the ground to stay there. If they root it up, you get what I'm saying? You hear this word of healing that God wants you well, but you don't go home and water it in the word. That's all you hear was today. Guess what you're going to hear tomorrow? You're going to hear the death number going up. You're going to hear that, and you're going to hear more and more fear. You're going to hear it spread. You're going to see that map on the news. The global map is all red. You're going to see all this stuff. You're going to hear everybody talking about it. You're going to believe more that than you do this if you don't feed on this too. Y'all get what I'm saying? No shade. But if you don't feed on this, that's not going to grow. What is going to grow? Your fear from hearing what you're feeding your heart. Amen. All right. So the word is a seed. Now, this is some of my favorite passages of scripture right here. I'm sorry, y'all. Mark chapter 4. There's a parable that Jesus explained why the word doesn't work for many believers. Why it doesn't work. He explained it in three of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. It's called the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus tells this parable, and he says, there's four different types of ground that the seed of the word of God goes into. He says, and only 25% of it gets into good soil. And the other three of the two, Satan, let's read it. So he says that the first ground that the seed goes into, he calls it wayside. And he's describing the hearing, because they all heard it, but it didn't produce in 75% of their lives. And Jesus explains why it didn't work. Why it didn't work in their life. So watch, here it is. In Mark chapter 4, it actually starts at the beginning of the chapter where he explains the four types of grounds. He just tells the parable. But watch then, he explains it. He says, and he said to them, because they asked him, what are you talking about in that parable? He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? How can you understand any parable I teach if you don't get this? This is a foundational truth that every believer needs to understand to walk in healing, to walk in all that God promises. This is foundational. Watch what he says. The sower does what? Sows the word. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm sowing word. God gives us bags of seeds of healing to put into our heart. Prosperity, he does not discriminate. That book is for anybody who'll take the seeds and plant them in their heart, put it before their eyes, hear it, meditate on it. It will produce fruit. God, give me. He gives it to you in a bag of seed. And then says, you sow the seed. Are y'all with me? The sower sows the word. Look at this. And these are the ones by the wayside. So the first scenario was a wayside, what I call a wayside here, where the word is sown. When they hear, look at this, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. I love this passage because he says that Satan comes immediately. This tells you the potential of the word. It's so dangerous to the kingdom of God. If this word of God, the word of healing, the word of abundance, the word of prosperity, the word of favor, if it gets in your heart and you meditate on it and it stays there and grows, it is going to produce health. It is going to produce life. It's going to produce. So the devil has to come immediately. So what is even this whole coronavirus doing? It's keeping people from hearing. And these are the ones sown by the way, with the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. Circle in your Bible immediately, because I want you to see this in the next one too. And takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise, okay. Now, in this, he doesn't explain why Satan was able to take it. But in Matthew 13, I believe verse 15, he explains why. And the reason why Satan was able to take it was because they didn't understand it. It didn't get down to him. They heard it, but they didn't understand it. With all thy getting, get understanding. So we have to understand how it works. That's why I take my time teaching like this. This word is just like a seed, and if you go and sow it, you've got to water it, you've got to watch it, you've got to guard it, guard your heart. That's what he's talking about. This word is for your heart. If you pluck it back out with fear, with negative talk, and then try to replant it next week, you're never going to have that thing produce. Planted Sunday, plucked on Monday, planted negative stuff the next week, all throughout the week, then come back Sunday, and then I got to replant it again. It's never going to grow. And that's why people get frustrated in life, because they never nurture the seed that's been sown in their heart. It's just pick, pluck, and pick. And they never consistently through the week. Are y'all with me? Second one. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. You get it, among rocks. When they hear, you see they heard, they hear the word. Look at this word again. Immediately. That's how dangerous the word is. Immediately receive it with gladness. Watch this. Go to the next one. And they have no root in themselves. Look at how that writes. It didn't say the word didn't have root in them. It says they have no root in them. They have no root in them. So and so endure only for a time. Listen to me. With this word, you've got to learn who you are. So when adversity comes, you can stand against it and say, no, no, no. I am the healed. Watch what he says. They have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. How many times have we all seen this? On fire for God for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution. If tribulation or persecution, when tribulation. We're in tribulating times right now. There will be persecution times. You will be persecuted. You went to that church. You know all he wanted was your money. You're going to get persecuted for sitting here hearing this. What are you? Didn't you not hear this? Did you not hear the news? Did you not care? You're going to catch all that. And it's going to put pressure on you. Are y'all with me? Persecution arises. Why? For the word. The devil is coming for the word. Persecution is trying to get the word. Why? Because if it gets in your heart, baby, listen to me. Prosperity, healing, abundance, joy, peace are coming. Don't quit. Don't pluck up the seed. Keep watering it. Look what happens. Look what happens. Circle what I told you. Immediately. These things happen quickly. Immediately they stumble. In the first two cases, immediately before they got to the parking lot. Checking their phone. Dang. Come on, somebody. And I'm not making light. I'm just telling you, this is what the problem is. The world's going to do what they do. We've got to learn to do what God said do. Amen. They have no root in themselves. They don't know who they are. And that's why that new covenant is so important. Amen? To find out who we are. Go to the next one. Almost done. Now, these are the... And by the way, on Wednesdays, I'm going to break this down so we can see it in the Amplified. See it clearly. I'm not sure if this week or the next. But now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Watch this one. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. If it became unfruitful, that means at one point it was what? Was fruitful. They knew it worked, but now all the stuff, care for money, care for stuff, has superseded the care for the word. It's taken precedence and becomes unfruitful. Next, is that the last one? But these are the ones sown on good ground. Say, that's me. Even if you're watching by internet, say, that's me. Amen. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Again, I don't have time today to read it in all the different gospels and some of the different translations. It brings out that this person, they had patience in bearing. In Matthew, it talks about that. In Luke, it talks about some of the details of this, and I'll cover that on Wednesdays. Are y'all with me? Close your Bible.